Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for being here.
What an exciting day. Let's get right to it. Host of the Bird Brain Show at the Ace Hotel. Regularly performs at Stand Up New York. Featured on the MTV International Show Vidiots. Ladies and gentlemen, Alzo Slade.
Woo! You players do your research around here, man. Somebody did their homework. Hey, make me sound like I'm cool.
So much to talk to Alzo about, but let's introduce another guest, shall we?
Yes.
Featured on SiriusXM, writer and editor on Elite Daily. You may have heard her on Keith and the Girls' Flavor of the Month, Where Are Dads?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I'm glad you do.
I forgot for a second. I don't write for Elite anymore.
You know, we didn't introduce you yet. Nobody knows happening yet.
Right. My bad.
Rosebud Baker. How you doing, Rosebud?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Happy to be back.
Rosebud, of course, she's into the spiritual world, right? Crystals and the whatnots. Yeah. And then I find out today, I go, what kind of crystals do you have with you? None. Because your life is going well.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous to me.
It sounds very dangerous. It sounds like somebody that's finally happy going off their meds.
You know what, though? It's like I came in here one time and I talked about crystals. And now you guys think I'm this like crystal watching hippie fool, which I am to a certain extent. But I also, I'm just like, I'm more into therapy than crystals.
We're also going one at a time. We know that you're into other things as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
we'll get to other stuff.
His whole life isn't about Vidiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you got to put me in this? Y'all on Rosebud. Don't be trying to throw me.
All I'm saying is I contain multitudes.
Have you ever seen something from the other side with your own eyeballs?
No. Oh, okay. Not with my eyeballs.
All right, so you're just fucking around, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm just having fun.
Okay. If you see a horror movie, do you get into it more because you know there's another side or not?
That's interesting.
That depends. I don't know. I guess I'm very gullible. So probably. But I don't know if that has to do with, you know, I think I just get wrapped up in it.
Right. I don't know if that's gullible, more like you're engulfed in a good movie.
I'm very impressionable.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. I was watching the movie Hereditary and the camera pans the house and a coat rack comes on screen. And the whole audience like, ah, ah. I'm like, this could have been an action movie, a comedy. It's a fucking coat rack.
Right.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
That's me, though. That's me. I remember, like, so when I go to see any kind of live show, people are like, oh, good, Chemda's in the audience. I'm like, okay, that's good that people feel that way because I'll be the one, like, if there's a joke, I'm probably, if it's a good play, I'm laughing, you'll hear me laugh. And if there's reason to cry, I'm just sitting there in the audience, just totally crying.
Sobbing.
If you want to call that gullible, I call that enjoying life. Having feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being in moments.
But I remember taking...
Alzo's making fun of me with his face, and I don't like it.
I ain't crying. No.
Oh, that's really tough to not cry.
No, it ain't about tough. It's just, I cry when I'm angry.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Me too. That's when I cry.
Do you get cartoon tears that come out of the side?
No, it's just like that Denzel Washington glory tear. Like it's...
Just a single...
Like if I cry... When I'm angry, that's probably one or two steps before blacking out and I'm about to fuck somebody up.
What gets you there?
People are like inconsiderate, like people like, you know, if people disrespect people that I care about, you know, like if somebody were to like mess with my brothers or my
In what way though? Because people mess with people all the time.
It doesn't happen often. I think it's probably happened maybe two or three times in my life. And the last time it happened was when I was in college. And this dude and his buddies just came in. It was like a scene from a movie where they just felt like they could bully people.
Like how?
But they didn't, we're in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And my buddy had gotten his backpack stolen and it had his wallet in it. And he saw the guy at lunch with his backpack.
Oh.
And he said, my friend went up to him and said, listen, man, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but that's my backpack.
Not accusing.
And he's like, I don't know how you got it, but my wallet was in the front pocket. I just need my wallet. You can keep the backpack. Dude unzipped it.
Wow.
Pulled the wallet out.
Wow, wow, wow.
Waved it in his face and was like, yeah, I got it.
Oh
but
my
you,
God.
But you ain't getting it, right? And at that point, I was just like, are you serious? bruh. And he just kept talking shit.
Like, oh my God.
And next
and you're already stood up?
Oh yeah. We like it's
and how many people
it's right now, it's me and my friend and this guy and his friend.
Oof. How did it square off? Like, are you guys
so
even?
when the dude was like, I got your wallet, but you're not getting it. And I was like, what? Like, that's when I was like, what? And
let me be clear to everybody. Alzo looks like he sounds. Okay? This is an intimidating motherfucker.
I was like, what? And that's when the blood started to boil. And then I could fear the tear forming, right? Okay. It hadn't rolled yet.
That's good because it's in a bad position to cry.
Yeah. And then when I said, what? His buddy was like, what? And so now it's me against his buddy. His buddy swings. He catches me like right under my eye. Next thing you know, it's a wrap. Like, we're swinging. Fisticuffs. I'm talking about wop, wop. We going at it. And what they didn't know was that we had a whole squad that was at the lunch table. So I just hit the siren. I said something like, hootie hoo, or whatever. And then all of the homies ran over there. And that was the day that those two dudes regretted having stolen my homie's backpack because they got mopped up.
Yeah.
That was the last time I got in a fight.
How does it feel after a fight? Are you like, yeah, that was good? Like, I got to...
It sucks.
It does?
Yeah, because, I mean, even though...
Because I wasn't there, and I feel great. This makes me feel so good.
Yeah, like, the story is very vindicating.
Yeah. The story is vindicating, but then it's like, these dudes really got whooped. Like, they got... I mean, they didn't get hospitalized, but it was bad. And then afterwards, you just realize, like, this is stupid.
Do you follow Facebook? Where are they now? One's a doctor, one's a humanitarian.
They could walk in here right now and I wouldn't know who they were.
Okay. What is it like? I've never been in a real fight. I've like, you know, scratched up maybe a couple people or I don't, nothing like now we're brawling. What is it like afterwards? Because that sounds like such a, your adrenaline gets pumped and my adrenaline starts happening even if like it looks like it's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
Is it a scene like from the movie where at the end everyone's just like, like, are you?
No, you're hyped up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel it's the same as when you yell at somebody, when you like really fucking go off on somebody. When you're done going off on them, it's not like everything gets fixed, right? Yeah. You're still amped up. It's just like this, right?
Yeah. You've seen those people on the train that get in arguments and then the person that they're arguing with got off the train 5 stops ago and they're still like,
they're still pissed. You know, yeah.
They're like, Miss Motherfucker, you want to do it? Like, bruh, that was downtown. Now we're in Harlem.
Yeah. It's like it was over a while ago.
Exactly.
Okay.
But you still amped up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the best crystal going today? And then we'll get off this topic.
I don't know. Yeah, meth, probably. That's for real. That's real talk, honestly. Yeah, meth is probably the best one.
It's easier made, takes a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
I follow both your Twitters, of course. Rosebud tweeted out, Happy Father's Day. I hope you enjoy this day as much as you enjoy doing a racist accent every time we pass an Asian restaurant.
That was to my dad.
Right.
Does he do that?
Yeah, he does.
Never gets old.
How does it sound?
He really gets it.
Really?
let's hear
he really gets a kick out of himself.
Rosebud, let's hear it.
Well,
so
every time
get the sound bite.
Okay, every time we do it, he does an impression of like the, because I told him this story about how I went to go get a massage from this Asian place and the lady was like, you look like teenager, but your bones so old. And my dad.
Oh my God, that describes you so well.
That's a compliment.
And my dad thought that was so funny, but like, so he kept repeating, like that's what he does, is he like repeats a joke over and over, but he just kept going like harder and harder on the Asian accent.
Oh God.
And I was like, Dad, you can't do that. And every time we'd pass a ramen place, this guy's going off like, you're born so old, you're born so old. And I was like, Dad, stop. But it's like, he doesn't understand. It's like I can't change my dad. You know what I mean? He's right. Like this old man. He's just this like.
How old is your dad?
He's in his 60s. Mm. And I just said, I was like, you know what? He's like a harmless but slightly racist old teddy bear. And that's who he is. So, you know, if that's what gets him off, go for it.
Here's another tweet. My dad is drunk and going very, very far out of his way to give every comic a high five when they get off stage.
Oh, yeah. That was when he actually came this weekend to watch me do comedy for the first time. Oof. Not by choice. My sister invited him.
To get you back at something?
I mean, I don't know. She should be arrested. But yeah, she invited my dad, and my dad was so fucking happy. I mean, he was very drunk when I showed up. He was hammered, and he got there before me. He got out of the car, and they were like, "Are you here for the meetup group?" And he was just like, "Yeah." Like, he has no idea what it was.
Oh my God.
So they bring him into this room. It's like a bunch of hip young people, and he goes, "Oh no, I'm not. No, not them. I'm not with them." And sat in the back.
Where was it?
This was in some bar in Chicago.
That's right. You just got back from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
what did he think of your set?
He loves it. He like loves my comedy. And I didn't think that he would. He was immediately a fucking expert on everything. You know what I mean? Like, we walked out and he was like, "I saw you do that one funnier on YouTube. Oh, I think you should do that this." And
he's giving you tags.
Yeah, he was trying to, like, you know what I mean? And it's just like... But he's actually, I get all my humor from my dad because he's like a mean guy. So and that's like where he would make fun of my mom, and I always thought it was hilarious. And, you know,
she think it was hilarious?
No.
Oh, great.
but he's a funny guy. You know, like, I remember getting pulled over with him. He was like speeding, and the cop was like, "Sir, this isn't a race car." And my dad was like, "Yeah, no shit. It's a Hyundai." And I remember, like that's like my humor. You know what I
mean?
That's
a funny guy?
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
What? Oh, my God.
My dad couldn't do that.
He's just no shit.
My dad wouldn't be here if he did that.
Yeah, he's just like, he's like a real smart ass guy, you know?
I heard my dad yelling at cops twice in my life. First, they always, I don't know why, they always call him a fucking foreigner. And then he says to get the fuck out of his face. And I don't know how it always ended.
The cops call him
so easily. Yeah. It was like one of the first things out of their mouth. Yeah. As soon as it gets weird, they're like, "You fucking foreigner." He's like, "Okay."
Yeah.
But he's already drunk probably. So now it's just an ego fight.
When you have people jump to the Blue Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
Have they been around cops? I'm not saying shoot them, but I'm saying...
You just have to go to Long Island.
I'm just saying, I'm hearing fucking foreigner. I'm seeing them catcalled because they're bored.
I remember when I was 17, cops have always sort of like been around weirdly flirting. But when I was 17, I don't know what about that age. It was... I felt like I can almost do any... I was intimidated by cops, but I also felt like I could do anything. Like, one time they pulled me over... I could tell it was just to talk to me, but they made up some weird thing. Mm-hmm. But now they're on either side of me, mm-hmm. and I don't know where to face. So I face forward, and I'm like feeling scared. But I also know that I'll be fine because they just want to like make me feel that. I could feel that they just wanted me to feel that. I had my my prom thing on my Crystal? My keychain,
like a badge,
your prom crystal.
So I think you got a keychain if you bought tickets.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, are you going to prom?" And I'm like, shouldn't this turn you off? Like,
right.
Now you know I'm in high school. And I was like, oh my God, that's not even changing their mind. So
right,
I just...
No, they're like, your headlights are too bright. And it's like, I didn't know they were on. No, not those headlights.
Yeah, they just... It was just weird. So then I started using it. Like, a cop pulled me over and I'm just like, "Oh, I'm looking for my registration." And I pull out a bra. I'm like, "Oh my God, it's this bra."
Wait, your bra was in your registration?
In the glove compartment.
In the glove compartment. Yeah.
So I started, like, when cops pulled me over, I would amp up what they expect from me because I wanted to get out of it, you know? So I would just, you want to act like they always acted like that. They always acted like you have an option to flirt and be, like, weird like that, or we're going to just be fucking pricks. So I chose that.
Yeah.
Key, we should pull out our briefs.
Right?
Yeah.
Until they just run away scared.
Right.
Isn't that weird, though?
Unsurprising now.
It's not surprising when you put it like that, yeah.
Yeah, one time I was outside, I was just in my neighborhood, and the cops were just there, and I'm like, I know I can mess with these cops because they're looking at me like that already. Mm. And again, I was like around 17, maybe 18 or 19, and I was like, let me speak on your amp thing, you know, let me get your, and they let me.
Walkie-talkie.
Not even walkie-talkie. The
radio.
No, not the radio.
Talking about the loudspeaker that comes from their car.
Yeah, that yeah. you can, so you can talk to the public. And right. they just let me talk on it. I'm like, hey, what's up? It's Hamda. Like, shout out to, you know, and they're just like, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, this is crazy. Okay. I'm like, can I try on your hat? They're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to take a picture with it. Yeah. And I was just pushing it because I'm like, they're either going to keep staring me down and like saying like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Like, really just... What's up? How you doing? Why are you looking at me up and down?
I've never had a flirtation with cops in my life. No.
Me neither.
Now, when you hear stories like, oh, really, cop? You're going to go after people smoking weed. You don't have better things to do. They don't. There's a lot of cops. There's not enough for them to do. They're always leaning. They're always catcalling. You see them bored at the subway stations. You know, oh, yeah. Blatantly yeah. looking at ass. Give me a break.
So gross. It's yeah. so gross. Andrea's writing in, I cry with cops to make them feel bad.
She cries with them? That means the cops are crying as well.
I'm going to assume they're not crying as well.
It's gotten me out of a bunch of things. Yeah.
That's a white girl move.
Crying.
I don't know if Andrea is a white girl, but that's a white girl move.
She's right behind you.
Oh, you. Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were like getting a live feed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a white girl move.
We don't let Andrea talk directly to us. Have either of you ever done one of those ancestry things to see
yeah.
where you're from fully? And
yeah.
were you ever surprised?
No, it was like basically a blank sheet of paper.
I mean, it's a white sheet of paper.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is not surprising at all.
I started to do it. I have a bit about it, actually, where I started to do it. And then I was like, this is some BS. Like, they're trying to hoodwink me again. Because I did the research and I realized it's owned by white people. So you're gonna steal me from my land, bring me to a land you stole, and charge me $99 for something you stole me from in the first place?
That's no, great.
No, I'm not doing it. You're not going to give me great. Twice.
That's great.
I wasn't going to do it because I could look in the mirror and see where I'm from. Right. But my in-laws got it for me for Christmas. And I joke about that because I'm like, yeah, because I look totally... like, you're just trying to see who married into your family.
Yeah.
Because I went to one of their family reunions and... And, you know, you don't think that you look different, and then you look at the picture.
Right. Right.
One of these kids is doing their own thing.
Oh, you guys, I'm 97% Middle Eastern. Surprise.
Yeah, I've done that ancestry thing. You're spitting into a
See, into that's a that's tube. Suspicious to me already. Like, what if I just ate some... Caribbean food or something. Right.
You know I was 10% Korean, and coincidentally, give me a break.
No what did yours come back as?
They smell it and they guess where you're from.
Right.
Give me a break. Eastern European.
I feel like it's like those places where you go get a souvenir with your like a keychain with your name and the meaning on it. Like there's never anything negative. It would be like
you can't find your name.
But they would be like, no, but we have Al, and Al means handsome king or something. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's all overly complimentary. You know what I mean? Yeah,
Rosebud, queen of the night.
Do you know what Alzo means?
Giver of life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like a woman.
No.
That was my little joke. That was my bad gender joke.
Now, let me tell you
I wasn't going to touch it.
I'm going to tell you what just happened. You let Julia's head throw you.
Oh, I didn't see Julia.
Oh, okay. All
why?
Because right. you made that joke and then Julia threw her head up.
I don't know.
Oh, I was doing that to myself. I was like, why would you do that? Why? What could have come out? A little laugh based on horrible gender norms?
Does it bother you when your dad is... so drunk he needs to high five every comic and you're sober?
No, not at all.
Does that only encourage you? Because it encourages me. I quit drinking, and when I see people being ridiculous, it pleases me. If any time I'm struggling,
yeah.
I go to a bar at 4 a.m. and look around.
Like really?
Yeah. If I have problems with the diet, I pop into McDonald's and take them off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because my dad's like he's like one of those friendly drunks. Okay. You know what I mean? I was different. I was a fighter. So it was like, it's not the same. Right. When I watch, like, I don't know, when I watch Jersey Shore, it encourages me to not drink, you know?
Right.
But if I'm watching my dad, I'm just like, this is cute, you know? He's right. just like a cute drunk. But no, it doesn't bother me, though.
People are funny that they know I don't drink anymore, and they ask me, will it bother me if they do drink? And it doesn't, but the way they ask is funny. I was out with your brother over the weekend. I was doing some work with him on his house. And then we go out and he goes, and we
stopped. Was talking to me, not Elsa.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, I'll take a beer. And then he turns to me and says, will it bother you if I drink? I'm like, well, that's good timing.
It's just like, it's like walking next to a, it's, I don't know. That part annoys me. Cause it's like, if you're standing with somebody in a wheelchair and you're like, does it bother you that I'm walking on my two legs that work?
I keep meaning to ask people.
That annoys me. Cause I'm like, just drink. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I just don't like being felt. I don't like being made to feel like I'm going to fall apart. Cause it's been 10 years since I drank. So I don't care. You know?
Yeah. No, you have to assume the other person, they're going to say. Live your life and they're going to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just drink.
I'm trying to think if I ever did that, but I never.
And again, I want to see the person stumbling and bumbling. So yes, take advantage of the shot specials.
I appreciate people that ask me if it's okay to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, that's nice. That's polite.
Yeah.
That's different because when Michael was drinking, he wasn't doing spit takes on my face. There's a little difference.
Right.
He doesn't take the glass at the end and slam it on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
What about when dating though? And you're in for 10 years. I feel like it's a different version at that point, but you're new not only to dating, but to dating while sober and to being sober. It's not weird to have like booze breath when you're kissing or.
It's a bonus. You're allowed to cheat like that. I ask her not to swallow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like swishing around.
And they warm it up for me.
Nice cognac out of the cheeks.
Right.
Absolutely.
Has it caused an issue like.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I have alcohol in my house right now, and it was from the last Keith and the Girl event that we had. And because I love entertaining. And this woman said, oh, is that not weird for you? And I'm like, do you know our first date you left beer over here and you knew that I quit? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know?
I asked people.
I was testing you.
Right.
I don't always ask, but I asked Michael, my brother, if it was okay if I smoked because there's a stigma on it. Weed. There's a stigma on it and he has a baby. And I feel like sometimes people think if I smoke weed, then I'll be high, and high is different than drunk. I'll be like stupid. I'll do bad things. I don't know. Maybe I'm still putting that stigma on me, but I get worried about that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, none of that shit bothers me. It doesn't like, I just feel like everybody lives their life. Everybody's responsible for themselves. If it bothers me, I'll leave. It doesn't, you know what I mean? And it's not, I'm not going to leave in a huff. I'm just going to leave. You know?
I told the girl, I said, listen, you have to live your life and then I have to deal with it accordingly if it bothers me. So she started drinking. I said, it does. Bye. And I
left. Yeah.
That could be a good way to break up with someone.
Right. Gotta go.
I get a different response because I don't drink at all. I've never drank.
Me neither.
And
I never meet anyone like that.
Yeah.
Never. We have to get married now.
when I would be around people that ask me if I want to drink, I just say no. Right, I just say no, and then they insist. Mm-hmm. And by the third time, then I have to say, I don't drink. And then tell me if this happens to you. They say, oh, well, I only drink on occasion.
Yeah, they start defending
bro,
themselves.
Bro, I'm like, I don't care.
Nobody asked.
Yeah, nobody, you know what I'm saying?
You know what the best way to drink for free is to tell people that you don't drink? Because I used to, now it's not as much of an issue, there's not as much pressure, but I used to feel like, wow, I'm an adult. And people are like, are you sure you don't want to drink? That makes me feel weird. Like, I don't trust you.
Right.
You know, are you judging me? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, this is exhausting. I don't want to hang out with any of you people.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm not fucked up. Like, don't worry. I will swing from this chandelier at some point if swinging from the chandelier sounds fun.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper because I don't have to pay for drinks to do it.
Do you smoke weed or do any other things?
No.
See, this is what we need to tell our younger selves. It does get better. And later on, you can't get away from alcohol fast enough.
Yeah.
Right now, no one will buy it for you, but you'll see.
Yeah.
In the future.
This will be in your way plenty.
Right.
Yeah.
There'll be minimums that you have to meet based on poison.
Right.
You have to at least drink two poisons in our club.
Right.
So none of us drink on this podcast.
Oh, shit. Let's light this place on fire. Bring the alcohol.
The relapse episode.
Actually, more and more people are not drinking. We had a Keith and the Girl live show like a couple months ago. I booked the lineup based on just whatever was happening. And then it turns out the entire lineup was sober.
Yeah.
Alcohol-based sobriety. Yeah. Yeah. But I was just like, wow, that was by accident.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with anything.
I was feeling left out. The smartest people I know happen to either not drink or discovered they have a problem. I'm like, well, I want to be smart too.
Yeah.
When's it going to hit?
Well, there's a lot of people too in comedy that are like, oh yeah, I'm sober. And then you find out that they still do coke or they're like fucking smoke weed all day long. And I'm like, can you not take it? I mean, I get
all
that
I have is this word.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's right, the only thing I have. So don't take that away from me, you know?
Well, sober is a bad word for that. I wish there was another word. It's just alcohol free.
Yeah.
Because alcohol is a very specific disease that weed doesn't replace.
Right. Yeah.
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 And if people say they don't drink, but they take Advil.
Well, and it's like, yeah.
I just, well, what's like, in your Vivarin?
But it's one of those things where I'm like, because it's totally different. Like, if you're smoking weed all day and you don't drink, like, good for you. That's really great. But you're not going through life with the same, I'm a fucking open wound. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
that's
like I've become a scabbed over individual. And
let's talk about it.
And I'm like, seriously. And these people are walking around. And they're like, I'm sober. I'm like, no, you're fucking not. I'm like, you can turn off your feelings. If I wake up in a mood, that's how I feel until I don't know when. So you know what I mean?
To me, you always have to let it out somehow, or you are just being the most mindful motherfucker ever. So does it manifest in sugar or like, did you?
No, I just am actually like, I spew everything I'm thinking all the time. And then,
is that fun or not fun?
Cause it's great.
That's fun.
It's great.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I enjoy it. I don't know about the people in my life, but I like it.
I like it. Cause then I always know where you really are.
Yeah.
I don't have to like go around whatever bullshit you're saying.
Yeah.
Like what's coming out of your face doesn't match what I see happening.
Right.
It's
like you're having a conversation, a different conversation than we're having behind your eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's those people that I'm like, what's actually going on here?
Yeah. And I don't want to ask you your opinion anymore because who cares?
Yeah.
I saw an article about the Housewives, the Bravo shows.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're so encouraged to drink. And then I see it's like a 2-page newspaper article. And I'm like, 2 pages? No shit.
Yeah.
Who are you? Of course you're encouraged to drink. They're like, we're just trying to be housewives. But they push drinking on us. Like, what else would you be doing? What else would you be doing? Ask yourself when they go, hey, we want to put you in a TV show, go, think, how am I interesting? And if you can't come up with a single thing and the fridge is filled with Jaeger.
Yeah.
Game on.
Now that I think about it, I mean, I don't watch those shows, but at all of the commercials, they're like a brunch or a nighttime event and there's always alcohol.
Yeah.
Slick bastard.
What do I do? Well, what do you do? Welcome to 6 Idiots in a House. Okay, that's where people would want to watch this. Oh, they will. They will. You'll see. They'll be lining up. We'll be selling merchandise.
Sorry, I'm vaping. By the way, is that okay, Alzo?
That's fine.
It's like
so you're telling 45
me. Minutes. That's the first time you vaped around me. Right.
That's how Michael asked if drinking was okay. Blowing smoke in his face. Yeah. Right. Is vaping a thing?
Yeah.
How's that?
Is this okay?
Rosebud, you do a lot of roast battles, right? You were named one of the top 10 comics that regularly perform Roastmasters at The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of their favorites.
Well, I was at one point. Not anymore, I don't think.
Okay.
Because those rankings change. But at some point, I was.
Okay, what's the secret?
Be
mean. Say everything on your mind. Get sober.
I just judge people all the time.
Does it ever affect you? Like, motherfucker, you didn't have to go there.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, because it's like, and if you look at it this way, the way that I look at roast battles, it's like you're making fun of the worst shit that's ever happened to me, but it's also like my way of laughing at the worst shit that's ever happened to me. And if you can't do that, then, you know, why are you doing this? You know, like if there's not like some kind of healing element to it, I wouldn't do it. But it's like it gives me a chance to be like kind of laughing at whoever did that to me, you know?
Last night I happened to see for the first time an episode of Drop the Mic on TBS where they take celebrities.
Yeah.
You assume comedians rape for them behind the scenes.
They do.
And they do this, of course. And they do a rap battle. And the one I happened to see was Jay Pharoah from Saturday Night Live, did a Obama impression for a minute, and Marlon Wayans. they, at first I thought they were joking. I don't think they were. They were not enjoying it. They were really hateful. Jay was saying how Marlon's only funnest joke in his latest special, he stole from Jay. And I'm like, you don't look like you're joking. You look like you really, really mean it. That's the end of my point.
Well, I wonder about that because when you get to like celebrity status, they seem to get butt hurt so much faster than your average human. I think it's because you have to have a certain level of status in order to feel like you can keep your status. And then if somebody's like punking or clowning you, it's like all of a sudden you take it seriously because you think that now everyone's going to think that way. It's going to ruin your career. It feels like people get neurotic and on a very high horse that's really just a totem pole that they're balancing on.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the drop the mic, and I've seen a few of them, and the common denominator of all of them, and to your point, Himda, is that like they're all celebrities, and all of the digs that they have on each other have to do with how they're like a failure at their career. Like, you had a show, but it got canceled, or the last album you did flopped, and so
which is really just they're roasting their PR company.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, and I think that what I found the difference, like with the roast battles, like that, what Rosebud does, like I can't do them. Like I wouldn't be able.
Why? You think you'd get mad?
Well, that's not roasting to me. Like the way that I came up roasting is like you just come to the back of the bus and there's no research, there's no notes on your phone, there's no paper. It's like
conversational.
It's just conversational, and I'm looking at you like I know you didn't come on this bus with them raggedy ass pro wing tennis shoes leaning and what, you know what I'm saying? Like it's mostly jesting and much less serious.
Would this happen, Alzo? You'd be roasting somebody in the back of the bus, and then it's not going well for you, and you go, all right, hootie hoo!
Nah, no bites. Okay. No bites. But the thing is, let's say like we're in a group right here, right? Like all six of us in the room, right? And I'm roasting Rosebud, just like on some clothes that she's wearing, right? And it's
could
a little
you just do
and
it so we understand.
And
fully?
It's a little funny, I know, right?
Because a lot of things rhyme with overalls.
I know. I'm dressed like my dad is picking me up from school today.
Let him do it.
I beat him to the punch.
Yeah, she's trying to Eminem herself.
Yeah. Or what is it with Steve Martin and what was that?
The jerk.
Was it the jerk where
he didn't say anything? A leap of faith.
One of them.
You got to give him a second.
You know what I'm saying? Like, God damn. Now the momentum is lost. You know?
That's how I deal in the roast battles. In the back of the bus, I go, my shoes, my shirt, what you got?
We would have eaten your ass up in the back of the bus, Keith.
I feel like it's all in jest, too. I mean, at least for me, when I'm doing roast battle, I feel like it's all in jest, you know? It's just written jokes. The difference is, like, one is written, and there is research, and there's, you know what I mean? It's a show.
Nah, but I've seen some of them roast battles, Rose. But cats be doing research on people's moms and shit. Like, that's why your mom had, like, type 2 diabetes and hemorrhoids up the asshole. I'm like, what?
I wouldn't know where the line is.
It's a show. It's not a podcast. You know what I mean? It's like you're not going to do a roast battle that's just like people watching you interact the way you normally would. Like there's got to be some structure to it, you know?
But like me and Alza, we'd be battling.
I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying that if you're going to do a roast battle, it has to be, you know,
right,
structured.
I just feel like some of it is more mean-spirited than it is funny.
For sure. There's some that you're
that's
like,
my point.
But that's on the comic, because if the joke isn't funnier than it is mean, that's your fault. Like that's, you know,
bad writing.
That's bad writing.
Yeah.
Like Jay Farrow ended up saying at the end, and he wasn't even making a point like it was funny. He was being clear that he wrote his bars, meaning all the lines he wrote and a comedian wrote for Marlon Wayans. And I'm like, well, you got that out.
Have you never said yes to a roast?
No, I haven't.
You don't want to do it?
No. I mean, if we roasting like we did in high school, let's go. We'll be there all day.
Would you be able to, off the cuff, just start doing it right now?
That I could look at Keith and
look
at Keith and be like, you know, his hairline, if he was in the military, he'd salute back here.
on the top of my head.
That's great.
You know what I'm saying? Like shit like that, you know?
Who else? Go around the room.
No, I'm not doing it.
Hey, Azo, if we were in the back of the bus, I wouldn't because I wouldn't have to be there.
What? That's it?
Yeah.
That's, oh, that's a black joke?
And then I ran.
I got it. Got it.
And then
got
I ran
it.
As fast as
oh,
I could.
Oh, that was.
Yeah.
This is why he doesn't do roast battle.
See, I wouldn't, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't know the lines.
But he come to roast battle in these Old Navy shorts that he got. Two for $20. That he got with his Old Navy fleece that was on sale because it's warm outside now.
I don't know how being frugal is. It's tough out there.
I don't know how being frugal is. That's not funny. That's just efficient.
Yeah. You know what? I know that'd be...
Bitch, you got crystals!
So, Keith, you're not going to do roast battles either?
No, I'm not. That was hurtful already. No, there's no reason.
This would be my roast battle. You guys are so nice. Let's just have some
coffee. Yours would be like, why can't we get along? I don't understand.
And then it'd be now, like, ow, ow. Like,
women rule the world. Fuck all men.
What? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like my act.
Are you agreeing with me?
Absolutely.
Because I would love to hear a fight against that.
No, I'm not fighting against that. A wise man knows his limitations.
Speaking of buses, the city's female bus drivers are being harassed because they have not because guys are assholes, but because there's signs on the buses now advertising for New York's Museum of Sex. And so guys, if there's a female bus driver, they get on, they go,
so corny.
This is the museum for sex? I like the museum of sex. Do you like the museum
that's
just of sex?
That's a real reach, I feel like.
Do people wonder why some people don't want to leave the house? Like, is that, like, do we now understand weird anxiety? What a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I like the ad.
That's hella corny.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't even know what fucking ads were on my bus.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm such a bad, I don't understand right. What's ever happening.
But picture you're driving the B69, you know?
Ugh.
Honestly.
I know. Yeah, that's bad.
Museum officials say they hope to resolve this issue with the MTA.
By doing what?
Yeah.
And the community.
They don't. They love it.
Without having to escalate this to a First Amendment case. So they're threatening.
Who's threatening?
The Museum of Sex. They're saying, I hope we can solve this and we don't have to say that you're censoring me.
You know what?
Wait, so the MTA is saying that they're going to take the ads off the bus?
Yeah, or figure something out to so that the ads aren't as prominent on a bus.
This is the best thing that ever happened to the Museum of Sex, because let me tell you something. I went to it, boring as fuck. I don't understand. It's right. So boring. Half of the thing was like, look at these videos. I'm like, I have YouTube. And so I think this is the best thing. Other than the noise in our background.
Right.
Because, like, who's paying attention to the Museum of Sex until you're reading, like, bus drivers are getting, now they're getting free press.
You know, there's nothing fun about this Museum of Sex, I bet.
So
I'm not.
I'm not
going. They got,
that's not true.
They got
I've been
inflatable boobs. They got the boobs bounce castle.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Sure. It's a pretty great museum as far as museums go. Also, I think it's interesting that the MTA would rather.
Where was the fun part?
It was just the whole museum. I just had a great time.
How? What does a great time mean? How do we have a great time?
Can I finish my point?
Her and her boo snuck off into the bathroom.
My point, yeah. It's like there was a sex bike that I saw. I was like, I didn't know that was a thing. I stared at it for too long. And then.
They had to kick me out.
Yeah. No, but I just think it's interesting the MTA would rather take down an advertisement than just protect its female drivers. They're just like, let's just get rid of the ad. Rather than like protect the female drivers, because that's a losing fucking battle either way. You know what I mean?
But yeah. What could you do?
I don't know, but they'll figure it out. Like if they could figure something out, you know, removing the ad is not actually taking steps to protect their female drivers. It's just being like, well, if we take the ads down, because that shit is going to happen.
You should. I know how they can
ad outside the bus or not.
They can fix it. They can empower the women and say, if somebody says anything to you about it, you can tell them to get off the bus. Yeah. Can you imagine commuting, waiting for another bus?
Okay, let's try.
Yeah, you could kick them off the bus.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's try.
All right, am I the bus driver?
No, I'm the bus driver.
All right.
Okay, you're the bus driver.
Okay, go.
Okay. Hey, Museum of Sex. Nice.
Step off the bus.
No.
Okay. We're not going anywhere until you step off the bus.
Oh, you're good.
Mm-hmm. And then me and Rosebud on the bus. Get the fuck off the bus, man!
Mm-hmm.
You're holding up. I'm
trying to get out to Astoria.
I'm like, you let the two of them do roasts against each other, and I can't just say, hey, Museum of Sex.
I feel like they said a little more than that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You trying to be slick.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably.
Well, they were making the pussy eating sauce.
I will say this. I don't know how New York does it, but the women that are in public service in New York City, like police officers, the bus drivers, there's some attractive women that work for.
I don't know how they do it. How does New York do it? How do they convince the hot women of New York to put on a uniform? Alzo, I'm going to check into that and I'm going to get back to you.
Please do, because other cities ain't got it.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, there are a lot of hot cops, female cops.
I haven't seen one hot cop, not female, male, anything. But really? It could be because uniforms completely turn me off.
Oh, I love uniforms.
So you would never date a police officer?
I would never say never to anything, but uniforms.
What about crack?
I don't know. I've dated some bad people.
Kind of the same when Hurricane Katrina came. We should have sent more officers down there just to dry the place out.
No, I did not say anything close to that. Get off my bus.
Get off the bus, bro.
I'm going to have to.
This is your stop.
Yep. Yeah. Wait for the next one. There's one right behind me, so no worries.
Behind you?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Woof. All right,
now I get to punch you.
Well, I don't think this guy's George Carlin. Rosebud Baker. You can follow the Twitter and Instagram at Rosebud Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The website is the same, so you don't get confused. I like that. Rosebudbaker.com. The podcast that she has is Two Less Lonely Girls, and it's all about, of all things,
Justin Bieber. That's right.
Two Less Lonely Girls is a weekly podcast where comedians / adult women, Corinne Fisher and Rosebud Baker, publicly stalk Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
Each week, they dissect the meaning behind Bieber's lyrics, scandals, and relationships with various women. It's like Fatal Attraction for your ears. The world is filled with terror and sadness, and there's only one person who can help us in these dire times, the Biebs. Be honest. Do you enjoy his music, or is the joke?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. No, I love Justin Bieber. I've loved him since he had bangs.
Would, in all seriousness, Anne Frank have been a Belieber if she was alive?
Yeah. I mean, she had nothing to do.
Right.
So... Yes.
Nothing to do but believe.
Well, just she was sitting in an attic. I'm saying if you gave her any music, she'd probably be thrilled.
Right. But if she had also U2 and Rolling Stones and
James Brown.
Well, that's now you're just Daddy. Now you're just arguing a joke. But I think it's like I'm not going to like.
Damn.
Okay, so it's a long. But it's a regular podcast. So it's a long joke. That's what I'm asking.
It's 30 minutes long. And it's.
But it's often.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's yeah. All. Yeah.
It's a long con, Rosebud.
Because here's the thing is that some people were up in arms when Justin Bieber said, I think Anne Frank would have been a Belieber.
Right.
Which I don't blame him for saying. I mean, she was in his age bracket. She was like, how old was she? She was a
teenager.
We're
looking at the two, aren't we?
Yeah.
Know. I really don't know.
I don't know. So she was young and, right. And also probably extremely bored. You know?
Sure. All right.
I mean, anybody who keeps a diary is pretty bored.
If young Hitler listened to Justin Bieber, would things have changed?
You know?
Get off the bus.
You know, you have to.
I'm like, is he just trying to fucking put
yes.
in?
Yes. Rosebud,
is he trying to corner us into a place where he says a sound clip and then later our careers can be ruined?
That's why I had to jump in there.
When people find it?
Not on my watch.
Anne Frank died at 15 years old. So 15. Everything lines up.
Yeah.
She should have been more interesting, to be frank.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Get off the bus, you two. Even though you're driving it.
We're taking over the bus.
That's so
we're
funny.
Driving the bus from now on. Yes.
My thing was offensive. You kept talking about how she was bored.
No, yours wasn't offensive. Yours wasn't offensive politically. Yours was offensive because it wasn't funny. His was offensive. For multiple, I mean, you know.
Thank you. That's sweet.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Alzo Slade, you can follow on Instagram and Twitter, Alzo, A-L-Z-O, Slade. And the website is the same as well, alzoslade.com.
Is it over now?
Would you like to say anything else to our listeners?
I feel like we're just warming up.
Yeah, me too.
It's been fun. You know what? I did want people to hear about your recent party that you were telling us before the show. So yeah, before we close, I do want to hear
grits and biscuits.
That.
Oh yeah, we just had the grits and biscuits block party, annual block party, where we have about 3,500 to 4,000 folks out there, Coney Island Amphitheater. And it's a lot of fun because we have guests performances that are a surprise. So no one knows who they're going to be until they hit the stage. And this year we had Trick Daddy, T-Pain, and Big Boy from Outkast.
It's a big deal.
So it's a lot of fun. And I extended an invitation to Rosebud, and she did not show up.
Huh, Rosebud.
Wow, Rosebud.
Guys, I was just tired.
Like I, you put, know what I'm I, put, offend- I put Rosebud on the list.
I didn't know you put me on the list.
I didn't get an invite is all I know. That's what I learned just now.
Well, I heard there's 4,000 people. Rosebud could have just said she'd been there. But she's making a point to be clear that she wasn't.
No, she would have stood out.
Okay. Yeah. That's the other thing is I was like, I did say, I texted Sid the next day and I was like, she was like, why weren't you there? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I was tired, but also I feel like it's such a cool party that I don't want to be like the first white person to show up and everybody thinks it's going to be ruined soon.
You'll fade into the strobe light.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time the strobe goes off, people are like, she keeps disappearing.
There are a few white folks there.
Yeah.
Sprinkled about.
What, on one hand?
No. Two.
Who gives a shit though?
Two?
That's what I'm saying.
Go two? Be the only.
There's only one black person in the room right now. He's doing all right. Go be the only white person.
Yes. Welcome to my life.
Yeah. True, we're going to count one of everything.
But when a black person shows up, it's like it becomes more fun. When a white person shows up, it's like they're going to ruin it.
There's the good racist joke. We caught it in time.
When a Trick Daddy comes out as a guest.
Yeah.
All right. Now, did they understand it's 2018, words have changed, or is he like, hey, I'm a superstar, I'll say whatever the fuck man, I want. Listen, hello, bitches.
Listen, man, Trick Daddy, when he hit the stage, people went bonkers. Like, because our crowd, they know Trick Daddy, and they rock with him. But Trick Daddy is an old school Miami pimp, right, who is not caught up. Right. To modern times in terms of political correctness.
That's a long way to say something.
Yes.
Yes. Yo. I'm sure there are two words that would sum that up, but okay.
What would you say? What are you going to call Trick Daddy?
Old school? Well, based on the story that I'm about to hear, possibly sexist?
That's one word.
Okay. I could find another one if you want. Jesus Christ. How about Jesus
that
Christ?
That does wrap it up,
that's
though.
Words. He got, so when he was doing his music,
they loved it.
It was popping. Crowd was into it. I was into it. But you know, artists talk in between songs, and that's when things get a little tricky. And he was like, but it started out innocently enough. He was like, first woman to show me a picture of their baby as their screensaver on their phone, you get $100.
Okay.
Girl did it. She got $100. She got $100 from
it. That's generous.
Generous. And then he said $1,000 for the first bitch. Uh-oh, we in trouble.
Maybe he was talking to the men at that point.
He could have been.
He just addressed the women.
Either way.
Are your hands on the extension cord?
Yo, no. Exactly. I'm like, sound man.
And turn then, on the feedback.
Right. And for the first pitch, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, give it up for Trick Daddy, ladies and gentlemen.
So how do you finish that sentence?
He's like, $1,000 for the first bitch that can come up here and prove that she has a yeast infection.
Oh my God.
For $1,000. I mean, I'd go because a doctor costs less to figure it out.
How do you prove that you've got a yeast infection other than just being in pain?
You fuck and then see if his dick itches.
Yeah.
Whoa. This went to a place just now.
That went real hard, real fast.
That was, I don't think I've ever heard him to talk like that.
I agreed, you know, immediately. I was like, yes.
She don't drink, but.
She does go from 0 to 60, 100%.
Are you going
to
be okay? Did you clutch your pearl?
I'm good.
You're
all
right? Yeah.
You know what sucks, though, is that doesn't work because they don't get affected by it.
By what?
By yeast infections. Guys can get yeast infections and they don't feel it. And then they just keep giving it back to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's that for some words?
Rosebud Baker Bootleg MD.
Other thoughts.
Bootleg MD is best.
What's happening is we're about to find out how you find out if someone has a yeast infection. What happened? Did somebody get the
$1,000? Oh, no. No chick came on stage. But hold on. This is the kicker, though. One girl came on stage to dance.
Okay.
And Trick Daddy has a hype man, which most rappers do. And then they just running around, hopping across the stage, telling everybody to get their hands up every other second. And this dude, they brought up a young woman, and she had perky breasts and, like, no bra. And, of course, he noticed. He was like, look at this bitch. Ain't got no bra. Show your titties. And I'm just over here, like, head down. I'm like, oh, my God. And then Trick Daddy, I don't know if this was chauvinistic slash
there's my other word.
Right. He said, bitch, you way too classy with that shit. Ugh. If you take your if you show your titties, I'm gonna beat your motherfucking ass.
Aw.
What?
Thank you.
I was not.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
What was the
but
crowd
he sounded like a pimp when he said it.
Yeah.
Like, wow. It sounded like he has done that before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was the crowd response to that? Mixed?
Yeah, it was mixed. I think for the most part, the crowd was grateful that she didn't show her breasts, you know, because that ain't that kind of crowd we rock with. But everybody kind of clenched.
Yeah.
The way he said it, you know, and even I got direct messages from people afterwards and they were like, yo, I love Trick Daddy, but like he just needs to do his songs.
Yeah.
That's it. No talking.
Yeah, I feel like as a comic, you go see live music and every time the musician talks in between their songs, you're just like, oh God, here we go. It's just like watching.
I wonder about that. I used to sing and I didn't like talking in between because it was a lot of pressure to tell a story and I didn't know if like it went with the thing. So I would mostly keep quiet, maybe say a sentence or two. But I always thought that that was not good. Like people are, they can hear the songs. They're waiting to like for personality a little on stage in between. But I'm happy to hear that I could be wrong.
Yep. I saw Dave Matthews try to do some banter and then I yelled out, not so easy yet.
Yeah.
Went right into ants marching.
But like they can get away with being funny, right? Because there's no expectation for them to be funny.
Oh, it was much easier to be funny as a singer. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then you guys get to do your songs over and over and over again because people, that's what they want to hear.
Right. But like, you could do the same song in two different ways and people be like, oh.
Or you can, or you got a hit record and 15 years from now, you do a concert. They don't want to hear new stuff. They want to hear the stuff that they loved 15 years ago.
That's got to be rough.
But if we do a joke that's like 15 years like, ago. Bro, we heard that shit 15 years
ago.
Like, I just saw that on YouTube yesterday. Right. What else you got?
Right.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you, I can use a drink. How's it, Slade? Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure.
Rosebud Baker.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And do you guys have a minute to do our after show?
What's that?
What's that?
Oh, let's not tell
them.
This is
the first time I've heard of the
after
show.
You know what? How about this? The after show, we're not going to tell them until we turn on the thing. So go to YouTube. It's under Keith and the Girl. We're about to have fun.
All right. Go get the fish. KeithandtheGirl.com.